Welcome to Coaching Culture, the podcast where we discuss how we can use sports and not let them use us. I'm JP Nurbin, the founder of Thrive On Challenge, and the mission for this podcast is to connect leaders in athletics to help us create a transformational culture by building leadership and character. Now let's get started. You are listening to episode 55, Building Trust Through Shared Vulnerability, part 3 of our series on applying the culture code.
Well, JP, in part 3 of our series on Daniel Coyle's book, The Culture Code, we're going to dive into the middle third of the book here over the next two episodes, which Coyle titles Shared Vulnerability. And in this section, he makes an argument that for your team to establish deep and meaningful trust and to enhance their cooperation, they have to be willing to be vulnerable with each other. Now, when we think about this term vulnerability, it sort of implies a willingness to be open, right, with those that you're leading or those that you're coaching, a willingness to be seen or to be exposed or to admit your mistakes, really to let your guard down in front of your assistants, in front of your players. And what's key about this, according to Coyle, and it's so difficult at times for leaders, is we have to take the first step in modeling what vulnerability looks like.
Well, Nate, I'm really excited by this topic, and I've had a previous episode where I discussed Brené Brown's book, Daring Greatly, which was one of my favorite books from 2017, and Brené Brown goes into vulnerability and how it's key for meaningful relationships and wholehearted living, as she calls it. And so when I came across Culture Code and started reading about the greatest cultures out there when it comes to sports and business and all that, it was exciting for me to see vulnerability as such a key component of that. Because one of my key phrases, Nate, is that of calling up. As leaders, we want to call other people up. And one of the key elements of calling other people up is that we're vulnerable, is that we get into the trenches with them and we are in the struggle with them. And for years, I was about calling people out as a leader. And I was always putting myself above them. And I was never willing to admit that I was struggling with certain things as a leader. And recently, I was having a conversation with a coach. And this coach was telling me how he shared an article with some leaders on his team. And it was something like, you know, the 5 keys or the 7 keys of leadership. And, you know, they kind of read this article and he asked them, in what I thought was an incredibly powerful, vulnerable moment, he asked them, what area of these, you know, 7 areas or 7 keys of leadership do you think I struggle with? You know, think I as the coach struggle with? And I thought that was incredibly powerful. And they pointed out that he struggled with patience, and he totally agreed with them. And he says, it's something that I'm working on, and I think I've gotten better at, but I still know that I need to improve in that area. And that was a great little conversation that he had with those leaders, you know, admitting that he had something to work on, as he then was trying to have a conversation with them about things they needed to work on. Now, my encouragement to this coach was that to not stop there. And I look back on one of my most impactful seasons as a coach. It was when I started to admit, guys, I really struggle with my temper. I really struggle with empathy for people. And this is something that I'm working on. And I admitted to some times where I really screwed up. And when I started to do that, and I said, guys, I struggle with these things. I'm working on them. All right, you struggle in other areas. We're all in this together. We're all trying to grow as leaders, grow as men. And when I did that, the relationships were transformed. And honestly, instead of feeling like, you know, weak, I felt stronger as a leader. Instead of feeling exposed, I felt more connected to people. And it was just this amazing year, because when I'd have moments where I would screw up, I'd lose my temper. But in those moments, my players would step up and they'd actually encourage me. No, coach, come on, coach, you can stay cool. And it wasn't like they were criticizing me, as they were encouraging me and they were helping me. That first step, that first moment of vulnerability, was a really powerful but very difficult moment for me to take.
Well, JP, what I love about that story is it really illustrates what Coyle calls the vulnerability loop. In other words, there's a process that teams and relationships go through where vulnerability, in a sense, are the little steps forward, right? It's almost like being in a three-legged race where, you know, you're tied to somebody next to you and your outside leg takes a small step forward. You were willing to open up to your players and admit that sometimes you have trouble with your temper and you're trying to get better. You admit that a play call didn't work, or you admit that you reacted to a situation in a way that you aren't proud of. So you take this small step forward. And anytime anybody does that in a relationship, I don't care if it's coaches to players, if it's in your marriage, if it's in your friendships, our human nature just pauses, right? We take that step forward. We've been a little bit vulnerable. We've exposed ourselves a little bit. And then we just watch to see how that other person reacts. And in a lot of ways, that's in the three-legged race. That's where our legs are tied together, right? And so when we both take that next step, when they reciprocate, when they acknowledge that, when they give you grace, when they accept you, even though you've acknowledged this mistake, that's when trust is built, right? And so we've taken a small step forward, and both parties then recognize that it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to be able to admit a weakness. It's okay to be able to ask somebody for help when you need it on this team or in this relationship. And that's trust, right? And so once that second step is taken, now the other person has their outside leg in this three-legged race that's one step behind, and oftentimes they're willing to take a little bit longer step forward. They might be willing to, you know, as you said with your players, they might acknowledge where they're lacking as a leader, where they're lacking as a teammate, and ask for help in that. And as you start this sort of this gentle walk forward of one person is vulnerable and then they wait to see how they respond, the other person reciprocates by acknowledging that and taking a small step forward. These are the steps of trust, right, in every relationship. But if nobody takes the first step, it doesn't matter if you're tied together if nobody will move forward. And I think, JP, the dynamic of that first step is a little bit different as a leader than it is, say, in a marriage relationship or in a friendship. Because it can be more public, it's a step in front of not just one person, but more people. And that can feel a lot more intimidating. And maybe you can talk a little bit about like some of the challenge for you in taking that first step forward with your team.
Nate, that first vulnerability step, that first step of vulnerability is really challenging because as a leader, we face a lot of criticism, especially as a coach in sports. You know, we face criticism from players, from parents, from fans, administrators. It doesn't matter what level we're at, whether at the little leagues or high school or collegiate level, we face criticism. And so we want to seem like we have it all together. We want to seem like we want to prove ourselves. I wanted to prove that I was the right man for the job. And I felt to prove myself, I had to always have the answers. Right? And I couldn't show any weakness. And so I was never, you know, we talk about vulnerability. It's not always saying, well, I'm weak, right? Oh, this is something I struggle with. Sometimes it's just asking your players what they think we should do today. Asking them for input on the offense. Asking them for input on the defense. Asking just their opinion or their take. Just admitting that we don't have all the answers all the time. And for the longest time, Nate, I never felt like I could do that.
Well, and you know, JP, one of the other things that's difficult, particularly when you're the leader or you're the coach or you're the authority figure, is there's this fear that if we admit a mistake, or there's a fear that if we admit that we don't have all the answers or we're not sure what to do in a particular situation, that we're undermining our own credibility as the expert, right? As the person that's supposed to have the direction and have all the answers and lead the charge forward, if we're willing to admit a mistake, are we undermining our players' respect for us? You know, if I taught something poorly and my players here in practice, that was bad coaching, right? I'm talking about myself. And by the way, my players hear that all the time, right? Well, there's a fear that will they respect me if I continue to admit my mistakes or things that didn't work when I'm teaching in the future? Does that make sense? And what I found is, as I've kind of wandered down this road a little bit, you know, more openness with my team over the last couple of years, is that those moments of authenticity can become more powerful than any credibility that I could earn by pretending that was the right answer, it just didn't work out. You know, I think you almost undermine yourself more when you have a play call and it didn't work, and yet you pretend that was the right call in the right moment, and, you know, you make excuses for it. That's more undermining of, I think, other people's respect for you as a leader than just being willing to be vulnerable and say, well, we tried it, here's why we tried it, and it didn't work. Now let's learn from it. How do we grow from it? How do we go forward? And I think teams respond to that. I think players respond to that. I think parents are more responsive to that. And as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, when you've built a foundation of connection in those relationships, where you've built a safe environment, where players feel like they belong, but even coaches feel like they belong to this team, you know, that it becomes safer, it becomes a little bit more comforting to be able to take that first step. And I think more likely that your players are going to take a step with you to reciprocate that vulnerability and to begin to build that trust.
Absolutely, Nate. You know, they're going to respond over time. It's not always instant, but they're going to start to respond over time, being more willing to admit to mistakes. It's going to become safer to fail. And you're going to start to see those conversations where you're trying to call up your athletes, where you're trying to give them some different feedback, letting them know stuff, that they're not going to see that as just this harsh criticism, but as just this process that everyone is a part of in that team, of just becoming the best team and becoming the best versions of themselves that they possibly can be. And it's not about someone being a failure. And you really are, it comes back to that idea of safety, like you said, that you're making it a safe place, making it safe to fail in that environment.
And one of the things we're actually going to do this year differently at our parent meeting that I think is right in line with this idea of vulnerability is I'm going to do a little section in our PowerPoint called "Here's What I've Learned Since the End of Last Season." You know, and I spend a lot of the off season reading books, and you know, we've gone to conferences together, and you know, you're constantly learning and growing, right? And I think that even in that, by admitting, we tried to do a couple things last year that didn't work, and here's why I figured out they didn't work, and here's how we want to try to do them differently this year, is just a model of that growth mindset that I think is important for parents to understand that we're all part of this process, as you said, of continual growth and being willing to be a little bit vulnerable, but then again, using that as a springboard for how do we get better as a result of that. I don't know that it makes them less critical when we don't win as many games as they think, or their kid doesn't play as much as they think, but I think it does at least open up the idea that I'm not set in my ways and it's just going to be my way or the highway and I have the answers. It's I'm trying to constantly get better. And if I'm modeling things that I've learned and things that I'm trying to improve in, then hopefully it makes it safer, as you said, for players to be able to kind of walk along the same path and look back at maybe how they've grown in the last year and how they want to grow as a player or how we want to grow as a team moving forward.
Yeah, Nate, and it humanizes us too. I think that the parents and I think the players will start to see you more as a person rather than just this coach, right? You're a person that has struggles, that makes mistakes, and you're in this process to grow. And I honestly think that it does create this barrier where people are a little less critical because they see you as a person and they see that you're working on things and, all right, they're a little bit more forgiving when you do make mistakes because they know that you're willing to admit to those mistakes and take ownership.
You know, JP, one of the other challenges for coaches, I think, in taking those steps of vulnerability is sometimes that requires us to cede control or decision-making over to someone else. You know, I sometimes feel like when we tell our stories here, this is like group therapy for us, but I too had a rage problem earlier in my career as a coach. And I remember after going off on our team and putting them on the baseline and, you know, yelling at them while they're running, you know, this is never going to be good enough and we're never going to beat the teams you want to beat practicing like this. Afterwards, we're doing a drill and I kind of sauntered up to one of our captains and I said, "Do you think I overreacted there?" And she sort of laughed and said, "You know, coach, I think that time we needed it, but sometimes you do." And it was sort of a, you know, a friendly kind of exchange or whatever. But for the rest of that season, whenever I'd start to feel the rage build, rather than just blow the whistle and put him on the baseline, I'd go find one of the captains and I'd sort of jokingly ask him, like, "You think now is a good time to overreact? You know, in terms of we're not practicing very well. Do I need to fix this or can you guys fix this before I have to?" And eventually that evolved into what we do now is when we don't practice well, you know, you talk about calling up, right? We spend a lot of time at the start of our year, you know, setting our standards and talking about what we want our experience to be like. So when we get into a practice and we're not practicing well, now I just blow the whistle. I bring the whole team in. Let's say that we don't have a very good effort that day. And we'll go around the circle and I'll say, "Give me on a scale of 0 to 10. What do you think our effort is like right now?" You know, and they'll go around 4, 5, 3, 6, whatever. And I'll tell them, "Well, I think we're at like a 3. And I know that's not who we want to be. So here's the deal. You guys got to get out of here." And we just kick them out of the gym, all of them, right? Send them into the cafeteria or whatever. And we, the captains know this. Like, it's the drill now for them to fix it, right? And I just tell them, "You guys don't come back until we're going to be us, until we're going to have the experience that we wanted here." And I've totally given them control and power over really the rest of our practice to try to fix whatever the behavior was, right? And this happens about once, rarely does it happen twice during the year, but every time that it's happened, the next hour of our practice is almost without fail the best hour of practice that we have in the entire year. And I think a lot of it's because, again, I'm willing to say, I don't know how to fix this. I don't think you guys want me to try to fix it, you know, the way that I used to. So here, you guys go figure it out. It's your team. It's your practice. It's your experience. Figure it out. And then let's practice again as the team that we wanted to be.
Yeah, I love that, Nate. You're empowering the leaders. And I think to empower, you know, people to lead, we have to surrender control. And so it comes back to this idea of being vulnerable and surrendering control. You know, Greg Popovich did this long before Steve Kerr did it this year, recent year, which is let players run timeouts. For some reason, Steve Kerr just got, you know, attacked in the media and by people on social media more than Popovich did. I don't know why, but you know, Popovich would let his guys run timeouts. The All Blacks rugby team, over the course of the week before they lead up to a match, they slowly hand more and more responsibility to their leadership council, their leadership team. To the end of the week, the second to last practice is completely player run. And even in Culture Code, he talks about the Navy SEAL commander, Dave Cooper, who led the SEAL Team 6 that I believe that took out Osama bin Laden. And he's, you know, when he talks about the best Navy SEAL teams, Cooper says the best teams didn't rely on him, right? They could step up and lead themselves. And that's a scary proposition, right? And as Quill says, make the leader occasionally disappear, right? And it creates, you have to be vulnerable to do that. But it empowers people to step up and to feel like they're providing value to the team. And it comes back to just that overall, this building that incredible culture that we all are all striving for.
So JP, as we wrap up this week, let's talk about a couple ways that coaches can maybe tiptoe into that, taking that first step of vulnerability with their teams. And you know, one of the things I mentioned before, I think just sharing something that you've learned, you know, as you go into a new season or even something you read over a weekend or whatever that's caused you to want to do something different moving forward is a very safe and a very simple way to, in a little way, acknowledge what I did before wasn't the best, and here's what I've learned, and here's how I want to do it differently moving forward.
And so, Nate, when our players are going through certain things, when they're going through a struggle, and that could be, you know, it's halftime of the game and the refereeing has been really atrocious and a few of the players start mouthing off, instead of coming in there and saying, you know what, you need to keep your mouth shut, which is what I would do for many years before that, I started coming in and empathizing with them and connecting with them and saying, you know what, I'm really struggling right now with some of the with some of the calls out there. But what can we focus on, and what can we, what is within our control? And so before I redirected them to what should we be focused on, I would, you know, just form a little bit of connection by showing a bit of vulnerability that I was struggling as well.
JP, I think that's a great example. You know, there's a lot of power in the statement, I know how you feel. You know, when players are struggling or they're frustrated because they're missing shots or because of the officials or whatever, like everybody on the team is trying to figure out, you know, how do we react in these situations? So to be able to, as you say, be in the trenches with them in those moments, I think is key. And the last thing I'd leave coaches with is, you know, we do exit interviews at the end of the year, and we have these periodic conversations with our players throughout the year. And one of the questions that we always come back to, whether it's individually or in small groups, is how can I coach you better? And I think that can be such a powerful question. You know, you're a third of the way into your season, you're meeting with one of your players, and you've tried some things, you know, to be able to reach them and coach them to the best of your ability. But maybe they have ideas of, you know, I don't really respond well to yelling, or I need to be pushed a little bit harder, or I don't have a lot of confidence right now. I need some more, you know, whatever it might be, that just your willingness to open up and say, I don't really know how to be the best coach for you, give me some help in that, is a great bonding moment and a great opportunity to learn. And again, it's that first small step in vulnerability that builds trust with that player.
That's it for today's episode, and I think now is as good of a time as ever for us to model some vulnerability. So Nate and I both know this podcast is far from perfect, and we are forever trying to improve every aspect of the show. So we'd love to hear from you this week, not just about what you love about the podcast, but if you could send us a message with your suggestion on how we can take it to the next level. You can find our contact information in the podcast details for this episode. Thanks in advance, and have a good one.